John Woodcock joins me now. John, good evening.
Good evening, Ian.
Now, for anyone who hasn't read your article, I have to say it is one of the most brilliant things I've read in the past few months. I don't say that lightly. It really is quite moving, and you're very open about what happened. Just tell us your story.
Well, I had an accident, fell off a ladder at home more than a year ago now, and I banged my head very badly, much worse than I'd thought at the time. And it has taken me so long to get back into the swing of things, and I'm still having to work at a reduced rate. And what has been happening is when I go out and do things, I can just feel completely exhausted afterwards, can struggle to get out of bed, and it started to really get me down. I mean, I want to be able to do more in my job, in my constituency at Westminster, and just, you know, be a better dad than I'm able to be, because I've got two young girls, age one and four, and I mean, they sort of melt my head down like nothing else. And so it was actually my wife who said to me, look, this is getting you down. This is not normal the way you're feeling. You should go and get help. And so it was actually the people you mentioned at the beginning, Kevin Jones, my friend Alistair Campbell, and another good friend of mine, who have spoken out, that made me feel, actually, you know, maybe I could go and admit this and ask for help and get treatment. And I thought, well, having done that, because them speaking out made it easier for me, then, you know, I should really just be open about this in the way that, you know, I've been open about the other scrapes that I've had over the last few years as an MP.
And what's been the reaction today?
People have been absolutely lovely so far. I've been genuinely, literally overwhelmed on Twitter and on Facebook with the message from constituents and people down here. Now, I'm not. I know that there may well be some people who are concerned about this. I understand that, and I've had to ask for my constituents' indulgence for so long now, as I've been getting better, and they've been really good to me. But what the point? I guess one of the reasons for going public and to try to change the stigma around mental health is that, you know, I want more people to think that getting treatment, admitting you have an issue and getting it sorted, is a good sign. And there are other cultures, and maybe America clearly has its issues. But I mean, when you say, you know, that you're getting treatment in America, people think, oh, you're getting things sorted. And for too long here, I think the sign that you've admitted you're depressed is actually the problem, and then you're worried you get labelled and stigmatised. The only way that's going to change is if more people are prepared to, you know, just be open about it. One in four people, Ian, one in four people, the mental health charities say, are going to experience mental health difficulties at some point in their life, and nowhere near one in four people get treatment about it. And that means that there are just a lot of people who are suffering in silence and with all the effect to the people closer than that can have to their own well-being, to, you know, often, you know, performance at work. So we need to try to change that, I think.
You talk in the article about the fact that you are on antidepressants, and there's a sort of feeling that you might be slightly worried about what your constituents might think of that. But you say, I don't think it needs to be a big deal. And if it does turn out to be, well, at least I might make it a bit easier for the next person who's in the public eye feeling like this.
Yeah, that's right. I say in the article that I have actually taken antidepressants at two previous periods. Once when I moved away from home, and it was as with quite a lot of people who become students, it's a huge difference, and I struggled to cope with it, and eventually I took pills, similar pills, to help with that, and then for a brief period in the turmoil after losing my sister, and I found actually in both occasions they just really work. They don't make you into a different person. They don't sort of make you into this kind of lovely, bouncy, happy individual, I'm afraid I have to say. But what they do is, for me certainly, they just took away those really grim black moods where you just feel everything is awful and you just get everything out of proportion. And so I'm really hoping that will happen this time. If they can just enable me to get on with things a little bit more than sometimes I am able to at the moment.
When you have these bouts of depression, I mean, people call it the black dog. What do you feel like?
Well, I am not pretending for a moment that the scale of my depression is as debilitating as I think the way that some people describe theirs. But for me, I'm already exhausted because of just the way your brain is my brain is getting better from this bang, which does take it out of you. And so already exhausted. And then you just feel that if something... I can end up, if I'm struggling to get out of bed because of the exhaustion, I then feel that everything is hopeless. Anything that I've done is completely useless. It's not worth doing. I've been a hopeless MP. I've been a hopeless dad. Fortunately, I have not yet written any election leaflets when I've been in that mood. But it was Mandy, my wife, who said to me, "Look, but you know objectively that isn't the case. You know you're doing okay." And so this is a sign, actually, of something wider than simply being knackered. I think you are depressed, and so that's how it's manifests itself for me. And if I can just cut that out, then I might be able to do my job a little bit more. Although I'm still going to be hampered while my head gets better, but I'll hopefully be a nicer individual to have around the house, which would be a good thing.
Well, how do you explain this to your 4-year-old, for example? Is she aware that sort of daddy's behaving a little bit differently than he used to?
Well, in one sense, yes. Not in terms of depression, and I hope that I've been able to not show the kind of blackness of mood when she's actually there. But she's really takes a quite mature approach, certainly for a 4-year-old, to the fact that I just don't have the energy levels that I would do when I'm healthy. And so there were periods in the day where I have to sort of, at the weekend, where I have to take myself off and have a nap and come back. And she's said the odd thing, like, I think when she was round at her friends with various other mums around, she said, my daddy spends a lot of his time in bed at the moment. And that is really not what you want to be, have people say to your constituents. But,
just finally, I suspect that if we were talking 10 years ago, there is absolutely no way you would have written this article, is there? Because it would not have been... People would have seen it as a weakness, and it was not something that people could say in public. And that shows how far things have come.
Well, that's absolutely right. And bluntly, I would not have written this article if Alistair Campbell had not done the pioneering work that he has on mental health conditions, if Kevin Jones and Charles Walker MPs, both my friends, had not stood up and admitted it. I mean, I think the stigma still does exist, and people are not fully prepared to admit. But I just hope that, and that the reason I've done this, is that I hope that every time someone who you're aware of does say something, it does make it a little bit easier for you yourself. Yeah. Either you don't have, I don't think people have to be open about it. They don't have to broadcast to the world if they don't want to. But it is in their interest to go and get help. And I've really been encouraged by a lot of people. A lot of my friends have got in touch today, and some people I don't know, but saying, actually, I've suffered from this for a long time, and what you've said has helped or has prompted me to do something about it, which is really, really heartening and lovely of them to be in touch like that.
Well, we hear a lot of talk about role models, and I'm not going to say you're necessarily a role model, John, but I mean, I think it is important for people in the public eye to talk about things like this, because just the fact that we're covering it now, there will be people out there who think, well, yeah, that's me. I didn't actually realise that I had this condition, but he's actually talked about me.
Well, I mean, on one level, I do feel self-indulgent, and I know that people have got the country is facing such problems at the moment, but 1 in 4 people suffering is a big thing, and it can have a real impact on the way people live their lives, on what they can achieve, on how their family is. So, I mean, I think it is worth us spending a bit of time talking about it and helping people to do something about what they're feeling.
The one,